Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm very excited about my guest today. I know Big Brother 26, I feel like ended God knows how long ago, but I didn't want to wrap up my coverage without talking to this guy because we've never met, even though it feels like we have. And we'll talk about that. But I want to welcome Big Brother 26 house guest and America's favorite player finalist, Quinn Martin. Quinn, how are you?
Woo! We did it! We're on the Sharon Tharp podcast. This is huge. I'm doing wonderful. We are a month away removed from the season finale and 2 months away from my eviction night. So this is like, what an incredible celebration here. This is great.
We're going to talk about your eviction night. I want to talk about that. Already getting back in Big Brother mode. Talk to me, like, how are you feeling? Do you feel back to normal? How are you adjusting to real life again? Or is it still weird?
I don't know what this says about me as a person. I felt normal immediately. Like, I feel like I have zero negative ramifications of being on a traumatic experience. I feel like I got through it. I was called out almost every single week. Every single time I'm like, man, I'm gone. This sucks. And then every single time there's like this new gust of wind beneath my wings. And despite all that turmoil, I feel great. I don't hold any ill will towards anyone on my cast. I love CBS production. Like, I'm just happy to be here. I feel wonderful.
I love hearing that because you never know. It's a long experience and you never know when you're going to get out. So it's really nice to hear that you're doing good. You're doing well.
Well adjusted.
I have to imagine you get recognized because, you know, your hair, like, you're very recognizable. What are sort of the fan interactions been like so far? Are they nice? Or what do they say?
Oh, everyone has been so nice. I had such an incredible landing party on Twitter of all places. Mm-hmm. So that to me means if they're positive on Twitter towards me, there is no corner of this earth where people are still mad at me for whatever reason. In terms of like recognition in person, I'm in Lawton, Oklahoma right now. I've been recognized a total of 5 times. My sister got recognized by my English teacher, by the way, and said, you did a great job on the show. You really represented Lawton. And my sister Zoe is like, thanks, I'm happy to do it. Like, she's been recognized close to as many times as me. Outside of that, in a random OKC arcade bar, I was with one of my friends from 7th grade, and like 4 or 5 fans were like hyperventilating and asking to take pictures with me. And my friend hadn't even seen the show yet. And he's like, what is happening? He doesn't know anything about Big Brother. He was just there to be my friend and hang out. So the recognitions have all been positive. I get free friendship bracelets and everyone is just super sweet and tender around me. I'm very fortunate.
I love it. Well, yeah, speaking of Twitter, I wanted to know, because actually I got a friendship bracelet at one of the parties. It said Sick Nasty. What were your reactions when you saw just like the memes? Because I know it could be like people can be sensitive, but I thought it was funny. I think it was in good humor, but I'm curious what your thoughts were.
Seeing the memes, I FaceTime my friend Maya, who, like, this is the second I get my phone, I FaceTime them because they were running my social media and they did great. Oh, thank you so much. I'll let them know that you said that. I knew they would kill it. And so I let them know, like, what's going to happen when I get on social media. And they are so excited. They just said, I don't know if you remember saying that Leah was Sick Nasty. That was a big meme. Like, it left Big Brother. And I'm super excited because I stand on what I said. Sorry, I'm a wordsmith. And I'm like, it's a little thing called Riz. All right. I think it's hilarious. I'm super excited. I never thought that the word Sick Nasty was such a like character defining thing about myself. Like, people said that they had never heard that before. In my intro to public speaking class, my freshman year in college, we had to like give a 2-minute speech about a word, and mine was Sick Nasty. So when I met up with my communication professor, I like told him about it and he just gave me the heartiest chuckle. Like, it's just been so great. I think it's awesome. And I'm honored to be a part of such something so hilarious.
Wow, it came from full circle. I didn't know it had that deep meaning. Okay.
I know, right? It's just a word. It's sick nasty. It's cool. Like
I'm into it. Okay. And I feel like I know a little bit about your sort of backstory, but how did you get into Big Brother and when did you get into Big Brother and when were you like, I would do that show?
The like reality TV journey started with Survivor. And that was my brother's show. Like he's the Survivor one. And so we moved to the United States or moved back to the United States in 2000, whatever. I watched Big Brother 11 first. That was like my introduction to it. And I really enjoyed it. I loved how campy and over the top it was. Yeah. And so to me, it felt like a translation of Survivor is my brother and I am Big Brother. And then season 12 happens and I instantly fall in love with the Brigade. I love Brittany. She's so hilarious. A lot of her sense of humor that season informs the way that I see myself and not taking myself too seriously. And then in terms of like being on the show, this is like a little weird, but I've always pictured myself, you know, whenever we have like a waitress or someone's working at a car dealership, I just growing up was like, I'll probably have that job someday. And so I need to like be very cognizant of the way that I act around this person because that could be me. When I watched Big Brother, I just always kind of told myself, yeah, I'll probably be on that show someday. So I need to like make sure I'm paying attention and things like that. As just like a weirdly confident kid. I know this makes no sense. And so then as I got older, I kind of forgot about like the idea of, oh yeah, I'm like destined to be on this show. And then Big Brother 24 ends. I see a Turner podcast about him and Pooch's experience getting on the show. And I was like, oh yeah, let me apply. And so that's what kind of started the application process. But the intro was Big Brother 11.
Wow. So you only applied once?
I applied for Big Brother 25 and I got a call back the very next day. I had zero expectations to get a call. I did not know what to expect. And so I really flopped on that phone call. So I then focused the next year around me getting on Big Brother. I rewatched every single season except for 8, 9, 11, 13, and then 15, obviously. Locked in on that. I watched every single piece of media on YouTube, online articles about how to get cast on reality TV. I have like a 40 plus page document of just like my takeaways from everything. Really turned it into a passion project. So when 26 came around, I felt like truly prepared to be asked anything and everything about myself.
I think you might know the show better than me at this point because my memory, I can't, they all blend together sometimes. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, season 11 was actually my first feed season.
Okay. Yeah. You're pro status then.
But that brings back memories too. Yeah. Season 11. Okay. So you got on the show, your cast. Did you have a specific strategy where you're like, I'm going to do this X, Y, and Z? Or were you like, let me sort of go in, let me adapt? Like, what was your plan, I guess, if you had one?
Before I got cut in the casting process, I really wanted to play this Jason guy game, but with teeth. I felt like a shortcoming of his strategy was, you know, during Roddy's eviction week, you should send Roddy home, but he didn't. And it's because he like felt bad. I'm like, you don't know this guy. He's talking to you in a way that I don't appreciate 13 years later, buddy, like kick this guy to the curb. And so that was going to be my intention is just like really lean into like how sweet I can be. And like, I'm very disarming around people. A lot of people underestimate me, things like that. And that was like the initial strategy. I get cut and then I'm brought back into the fold. And so I felt like, my friends call me the sewer cat. And I was like, okay, I lost one of my lives here. I only have 8 left. Let's be very gregarious. Let's play like this turbulent leopard seal game where if I have the opportunity to lie to someone's face, I'm going to do it because if I get sent home week 2, I want it to be doing something worth talking about versus like, oh, well, Quinn tried to play a floater game and like blend in and like wasn't a threat. Like that to me, after being cut, felt like such a miscalculation of the experience just because as far as I had seen it, I had already lost Big Brother 26. So let's go out there and like pedal to the metal. That's where my willingness to flip on the Pentagon stems from, where it's like, no, I don't want to be a part of this steamroll majority alliance. Let me assemble the troops and try to take out the other side. I ended up getting left in the dust, which certainly sucks for me. But I think that I really flexed my big brother skills of making it as far as I did, despite being called out and left out on both sides of the house.
Wow, that's so interesting that the big brother 20, you're like, let me go in there. And yeah, I think that's a great mentality, because I think a floater game can get you far, but can you win? Probably not. And at least you're going in there swinging. I love that. Yes. So appreciate that. And I remember you mentioned Jason in your preseason interviews, which I thought was interesting, because I feel like, you know, not that he doesn't get recognized, but obviously people remember Danny, and they were a duo, and he did a lot in there. But you're right. He didn't do enough. But OK, love that.
Yes.
All right. So have you gone back and watched any of the season yet? Do you plan to? Have you already done it?
I wanted to wait until I got my deep dive. And which just confidence. I was like, they're gonna call me. Like, come on, brother. Top three?
Quit playing. Of course.
And so I kind of stayed away from everything. I started to watch my eviction episode, didn't have the heart to see it, but I've seen episodes 1 through 4, the hide and go veto episode, and then the video or the episode where I win HOH. Those are the only things that I've seen so far. But now that I've completed the like deep dive, I'm gonna rewatch the season as soon as possible. I'm excited. It's my favorite show.
Yeah. Well, is it weird? Because I don't know. I don't think I'd be good at seeing myself on TV. Like, is it weird or was it cool?
Just from where I'm at right now, I am filled with like an immense amount of pride watching my friends be on the show. And I'm just like, look at it. Like, I'm so happy to see, like, I know Rubina, you know, like that's crazy. And then in terms of like watching myself play, I haven't hit any points to where I would cringe. I think that from what I've seen of my diary room sessions, I know a lot of people have stuff to say. I'm watching them with a big smile on my face, and I think to myself, that guy's hilarious. I'm laughing at the things that I'm saying. And so that's all that really matters. I was called a narcissist on the show. And I think that anyone who's on reality TV, you know, they're obsessed a little bit with themselves. So watching myself perform on the show doesn't feel too cringe right now. Maybe in like 4 episodes, I'll have something else to say, but that's where I'm at right now.
Well, that's good. I hope you stay there. And yeah, in terms of like criticism, actually, I think I definitely tweeted something about your DRs at one point, but I tweet that about everyone's DRs, even Dan, that's who's my favorite player, screaming in the DR. I'm like, bro, can we calm down a little bit? But yeah, I think it ebbs and flows, right? Like it depends on sort of what's going on in the game, who you're rooting for that week, what they're showing. And I think some people definitely come out with a harder time with just social media, but I'm glad, like taking it all with a grain of salt and taking it all like sort of in stride is admirable. So well done there, because couldn't be me.
Absolutely. I am 40 times more excited about all the positive. Like I've seen every single fan cam about myself, about just anything adjacent to me. Like I've seen it and I appreciate it. I've seen the alumni that stood up for me. I've seen like the media sources who were very positive. I like that to me is way more exciting than seeing some rando from season 13 talk about me, right? Like that stuff doesn't matter to me, and it doesn't, like, who cares? Like I feel so thankful to be a part of the show, and this experience has been great.
Amazing. All right. So obviously we're not going to go week to week. Like you have a deep dive. Everyone go watch that with Taryn. It's amazing. But I do want to touch on a couple things from the game. One being, you know, you're in there, you don't have a lot of information. You have no information from the outside world. And at one point you were nominated by America as a third nominee. And just knowing myself, I feel like I'd be like, wait, so the one thing I know from the outside world is that America wants me on the block. Like, and I'd be just thinking about that for a long time. And I'm curious, like, what was going through your mind? And was it something you dwelled on, or were you like, whatever?
I think that my reaction to being put on the block by America was to be expected. It was so easy to point at Tucker and recognize him as the AFP. Like that to me was the most obvious thing on the planet. And so as he is now my arch nemesis rival, where one of us has to die for the other to succeed, I was not even remotely shocked by the fact that I was put on the block. I was trying to justify who else even could go up on the block. Like this just narratively doesn't make sense, especially because it's a vote for someone, not a like who's not getting votes at all. Like, so those players who maybe I felt like weren't super a part of the strategy in a way that the show would appreciate, I didn't think like, oh, well, they're going to get thrown under the bus. I was like, no, I have this big maroon target painted on my back. So I didn't take it too personally. There were a couple times in the game where I would weaponize it and be like, you know, I know that America is going to put me on the block. And this really stinks, like trying to get people to kind of feel bad for me. And I don't think it even worked. Wow. Like, who cares? But yeah, I take it.
It's cool.
Yeah, there was a reason why I was wearing like an 80s getup on eviction night. I knew that I was about to have to go compete, and Tucker had his costume going, and I'm like, I'd hate for him to like do it by himself. So let me get in an outfit myself. So it wasn't super shocking.
Okay. And that makes sense, because at that point, you know, okay, it's me versus Tucker a lot of this. You're obviously getting screen time. The viewers are seeing you, and it's easier to vote for people that you know, especially early on in the game, versus just someone who isn't really on the show. So that's also obviously another factor.
Yeah. Not too worried about it.
Yeah. So you missed out on Janky World by a week. I'm curious, are you happy? Are you sad? Like, how do you think you would have fared in Janky Worlds?
I'm so pissed I missed Janky World. I love to suffer. I think that I would have thrived out there. I heard it rained one night and I cackled out loud. I was like, you guys, because we're on Big Brother for a reason. We're not on Survivor. And so a lot of people were taking being a have-not extremely hard. I would sleep up in the have-not room for my like sleep talk detoxes. And so it's like, this isn't the hardest thing in the world for me. During the hide and go veto, it was ridiculously hot outside. And I was sitting there, I was like rejecting water. Like, Leo was so sweet. She's like, do you guys need water? Do you need anything? I was like, no, I'm good. Just because I think that putting yourself through difficult situations makes yourself stronger. So I would have fully embraced the Janky Week torment and taken it with a smile, because so iconic. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I was bummed you missed it, because I was like, that would have been fun if you were there. It ended up being funner than I thought. I was like, why are we bringing this back? But I actually enjoyed it.
And my diet in the real world is like oven pizza. So nothing would have changed for me.
Really?
Yes.
Pizza the whole week? I don't know. I love pizza too, but I don't know. Okay, so I have a couple of things to talk about. Well, one is you kind of made my whole summer in a couple ways, okay? I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm talking as a fan. I have been watching this show since I was a kid. It's my family show. My grandmother watches this show. And, you know, I have a very cool job. I've been doing this for a while. And I've always just thought, like, it'd be cool to hear someone say my name on the feeds, because that's never happened. And I missed it, which I was so pissed about. But someone caught it. And I was just like, this is so cool. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for doing that, because it really did make my summer.
Oh, no.
I know it was a passing comment too. It was like you probably didn't even think about it, but it meant a lot to me. So,
well, I'm happy to give you any amount of shout out ever. I think that you are just such a like backbone of the community. I think that your like journalistic integrity is phenomenal, and I think that you should be celebrated every second we can. Like, you are just so good at your job, and I would have voted for you if you were the 17th house guest. I saw those rumors and I was like, I would have been pressed into it. I would have been committing voter fraud. I would have been like, Lisa, vote yes. I know you don't know the show.
She has no idea who I am. Yeah. She'd be like, what? Yes. I forgot about that rumor. That was wild as well. Yes. So thank you. All right. So the eviction, this is what sort of, I want to hear your side, but like, again, as a fan, I didn't go to the live show as, you know, for work. I went as a fan, which was really cool. And at no point did it occur to me that we would see each other. You would know, you know, also up until that day, I feel like the vote was back and forth. I'm sure you've been told, but yeah, I believe the vote was back and forth. And so when I went, you know, again, didn't occur to me, but I sit down and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm kind of like in the sight line of the evictee. And you come out, you see Jerry O'Connell, which you're probably like, I mean, I know he had told you he was there, but I'm sure you were like, what is going on? And then you see me and I'm like, they tell us obviously not to talk to people on stage. But my first instinct was like, hi. And I was like, oh, shit, like, I'm not supposed to say anything.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And then I just remember someone from production sort of blocking us, like, who's he talking to? And I'm like, no, I'm not talking to anyone. but that was really cool too, because I just like, it didn't occur to me. But funny enough, I like got out of the show, got my phone back, and people on Twitter were like, did Quinn just recognize Sharon? Just, I don't know how they knew that, but just because they knew I was there. And then you said like, oh my God. And then it cut.
Yes.
So that was just really cool, Quinn. That also made my day a little bit. But yeah, it was that weird?
It softened the blow for sure. I don't know what it is. I didn't, throughout the season, normally everyone sprints over to the door and they're like looking outside. I didn't do it very often for people's evictions, just because I'm like, what are we looking for? Like, I don't, this is a moment to like either celebrate or mourn the loss of like one of our house guests. I don't need to go say hi to someone who's in the like whatever. But every single time I did, people would look vaguely familiar, which was very strange. And so as I'm scanning the crowd, I saw you and I was like, why do I write? Oh my gosh. And it was such a, as a fan, it was such a surreal moment getting to see you and just be like, oh my God, I'm on Big Brother. I was on Big Brother. Now I've been kicked to the curb. I'm homeless. But like, man, it was such a cool experience for me. And yeah, when I didn't even recognize when like the crew are stepping between us, they're like, look at your pictures behind you. And I looked and I'm like, yep, that's me. Anyway, Sharon, hi. And it's just like, I didn't even think that you could get in trouble. So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually get in trouble. And guys, we didn't exchange any like words. I mean, I think you did say you liked my Dr. Will interview, but that would, you know. We didn't
I tried to exchange words, and then they like put me in a headlock. It was commercial break, so you guys didn't see this, but they're like,
okay, they did not do that for the record.
But yeah, they did not.
They were actually very nice about it. But yeah, no, that was just super cool. And I have to imagine that's such a weird moment, because yeah, you're going through a lot of emotions. You just got evicted again. Jerry O'Connell's there. You're like, what's happening? So yeah, you mentioned my Dr. Will interview, and I wanted to ask you, because you know, that was the other thing. People on Twitter were kind of funny. They were like, damn, Quinn's the biggest fan in there, and he comes out, Julie's not there, and then like he's expecting Dr. Will. And listen, Taylor is a great replacement, nothing against Taylor, but it was just funny because people on Twitter were like, damn, Quinn's just not getting everything, I guess. But yeah, what was your reaction, I guess, to seeing Taylor? Was that cool? Like, tell me about sort of the jury roundtable.
Seeing Taylor was absolutely insane. There's like a glow about her. When she walks out, you hear like angels, like the chorus of 1,000 angels. It's like there's a beautiful glow happening right now. She had this like two-piece moment with her abs out. I'm like,
she looked insane.
Crunches, like absolutely stunning. I can't imagine entering the house with a goddess like that. Like that's obscene. And so there was no disappointment. It was just excited. It was a different flavor of excitement of, oh my gosh, here's this recent legend who went through like the craziest turbulence that anyone in the house can experience. Like absolutely insane story for her to start to finish. And so I was just excited to see her. She said like, sorry about not getting to see Dr. Will. And I was like, Dr. Will was going to be like a little sassy with me. You're going to, what? This is crazy. You're a different, what? So it was just excitement. Like there was no thoughts of, man, I didn't get to meet Dr. Will, because that'll happen someday, you know?
Yeah. Also, Taylor like really knows the show. Like she watches the feeds. She's sort of caught up. So it was cool to see, you know, yeah, just a different vibe, I guess.
She was a professional from start to finish.
Yeah, she's absolutely good at it. Incredible. So you were the first person in the jury house. What was that like? And as sort of people started trickling in, any fun stories or anything that you can tell us that went down in the jury house? Any memories?
So I went in there, and funny enough, I had two journals in sequester. Okay. And the one that I ended up writing in wasn't as nice as this one. And so they gave me they said, here's your journal, and there's nothing written in it. So I just journaled every single day. There's like three pages dedicated to each person from my season. I wrote about every single HOH, like every power of veto. I daily journaled. I like investigated people on their exit press to try to get an idea of what was happening from the viewer, like fan base and things like that. Like just, you know, this is like one of Brooklyn's pages.
Wow.
I was clocked in trying to make sure I was tracking everything. I was studying the days just in case there was a battle back. I heard about Camp Quinback and I wish it was real. As people are like trickling in, I had a 4-hour conversation with T-Core, and the biggest takeaway was finding out she didn't have a formal final two with chemo. My jaw dropped on the ground. And then yes. I was like, so then what was the name of your like final three alliance with you, Rubina, and chemo? And she's like, oh, it didn't come up. And I was like, it didn't come up. You didn't think for the cameras, you know, a show here, maybe toss a name on it, brother, please. Like, it was so funny. We watched season two of Stranger Things. I'm going to bring this up as much as possible. Tucker was almost Billy from Stranger Things. And
what?
Yes. Right. Isn't that crazy? That's my dog. He does acting for real. Wow. So I can't wait for his success to like skyrocket. And so she had never seen Stranger Things. So I was like, we have to watch just so that you can see season two and see Billy. Like, and then in our head, it's Tucker. So that was really fun. We watched, and then when Angela gets there, we're watching Love is Blind, the UK version. And at one point I just started crying. I was like, this is so beautiful. Like I've never seen Love is Blind before. And I was like rooting for everyone so hard. And then the way the show goes, the further it gets, like I won't spoil anything, but some people fall out of love. And I like couldn't watch it. I was like, this is too sad. I'm just going to leave while everyone's still in love. And so that's what I did. I don't really know how it ended. Just so much fun. We played phase 10 and I cooked every single sequester manager other than one. And that's because she was focused on beating me. As the card game goes, I'm sick nasty. I would regularly remind them. I'm like, most competitive reality TV show around. Okay, guys, you're dealing with a professional here. Don't beat yourself up. Like I was being very funny with that. Before Leah got there, where I was eating Uncrustables and like, you know, tortillas. That was it. T-Core gets in there. We're making guacamole every day. And then once Leah gets in there, some real meals are being chefed up because she's so a whiz in the kitchen for sure. Just one night, you know, no, I won't snitch on us.
yeah, you don't.
But it was so much fun. My birthday was great. They surprised me. Everything is very sweet.
I love that. All right. Speaking of Leah, I have to ask one question, obviously. She had told me in her exit interview, you know, she's open to seeing what happens. She shut down Angela, which I loved. When Angela thought it was like absolutely insane that Leah would ever consider, you know, you or whatever.
I know, right? That's crazy to say.
I was just like, in front of you. It was wild. But yeah, so I just like, where do you sort of stand with Leah? Are you guys still good friends? I'm assuming you said you're friends with everyone, but like, yeah, where do you guys sort of stand today?
I'm definitely friends with everyone. And then Leah is definitely like my best friend of the season. We FaceTime all the time. I'm like becoming friends with her sister. Shout out my dog, Danny. That's my homie. Her birthday is like right before mine too, like a day before. So we're both Libras. We're balancing it out. I talk to Joseph a lot too, but Leah is definitely my best friend from the season and super grateful. I said it in my exit press that like, whether it's romantic or platonic, I'm lucky to be included in her life. And that's where we're at. It's super exciting. It's awesome. I feel so fortunate to be her friend. It's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. I don't know if you remember or you've seen this. Remember, you were in the house, but during the first week, maybe even the first few days, you guys had started hanging out, like talking, and everyone was like, oh my God, love this alliance. Like even me, I was like, these two, I could just see like working really well together. Obviously, you know, there were trials and tribulations, but love to see that you guys are still friends and
absolutely cool, obsessed with the snoots. That is my favorite final two. I have an official ranking in here.
Can we hear?
Yeah. I'll whip it out. Obsessed. The snoots. One of my favorite tweets is it's like me and Leah talking, and it's probably like 5 a.m. at this point, and I am holding her hands, but it's not her hands, it's like two like big spoons and spatulas from the kitchen, and it says, keep in mind this is the most serious game conversation Leah has had this whole season. And I just think that is like, that summarizes how serious we are. Like, we're just very funny people. And so oh my goodness. The second that was kicked off in my head, I was like, I will prioritize this over anything. I don't care. She's just so much funnier than everyone else. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
What are their final twos? Were your final twos you ranked?
Yes. Okay. I had 7. the snoots with Leah, and then it goes No Doubt with Joseph, Quality Control with Cedric, Too Easy with Brooklyn. Kimo and I, we never got to naming it because he instantly abandoned me for T-Core. And I wanted it to be called The Wanderers. And then in the jury house, we discussed the crock pot because, you know, it's we're
oh,
cooking.
God.
And then number 6 is Rubina. And then number 7 is BB Guns with Angela. This is written in stone, by the way. Okay. And the bottom 3 fluctuate depending on my mood. But yeah,
I love that you have that because now you can forever keep it. It's like a good, I don't journal, but I think I would be like that in the jury house. I'd just be journaling everything just so I remember. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to sell it on eBay, but
probably not. No, there's a lot of very personal thoughts. Okay, it would be a violation of myself. It would be funny, but I'm a huge fan of the whole situation. Hmm.
Do you still, people actually, yeah, when you got out of the house, I know Rubina handed you that bracelet. You showed it to me in your exit interview. It said jury duty, which in hindsight, okay, that's kind of funny. But like in the moment when you're just being evicted, you're probably like, what the hell? Yeah. I was going to say, do you still have the bracelet?
Yeah. The only bracelets I wear, funny enough, are like Lee and I's the snoots. One of Tucker's friends makes jewelry and he like gifted us this. And so I was like, happy to help out for sure. And then jury duty, those are the only ones I wear. I didn't take it like personal, like it was just the fact she was touching me after like I just got voted out, and it's like, let me put something on your wrist. I'm like, bro.
Yeah.
And I think that her and I had very different like approaches to the game, and so I'm like, I'm for real hurt right now that like my dream is ending, and it's no one's fault but my own. And so that's why I feel like I said no initially. But I also said in my exit press that it was iconic. If she was trying to be malicious, that's legendary. It's the fact that she was being sweet that makes it so funny that she didn't consider how crazy that is.
Absolutely. Here's your consolation prize, Quinn.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. And I'm like, gee, thanks. But so funny. So funny.
Yeah. I think people get so in the moment, like it reminds me of like Michael Bruner just being like, I don't want to hug anyone. I just want to get out of here. Please, like, let me go.
I had nothing clever to say. That honestly, if I had something cool, I would have like locked and loaded it. But I was like 60-40 on if I was going to stay or not. So I didn't have this cool moment or anything planned, unfortunately.
I think that's fine, Quinn. All right. So, you know, in the end, I want to talk about Chelsea. You know, the jury unanimously voted for her. Talk to me about your vote for Chelsea. Was it something you wavered on? Was it something you pretty much were like, I'm locked in regardless of Chelsea's sitting there? Talk to me about just voting for Chelsea.
It is my opinion that Chelsea is one of the most dominant winners in the history of the game, like top five for sure. And I'm super happy to be a part of her story for success. Like, she gave me a big hug afterwards and was like, my parents said that, like, I need to thank you personally after like the round table and everything. And I don't think that that's true. Because she chefed it up the whole season. She took every inconvenience, every like downturn, and turned it into a positive. She formed a majority alliance with Joseph and Cedric when she didn't have a vote that week. And we were all happy to be like, yeah, this is great. Let's do it. I just think that she's incredibly talented. After I got evicted, I was rooting for two people, Leah and Chelsea. And I said, if either of them don't win this season, I'm going to be sorely disappointed, just because I feel like oftentimes when you're thinking about the seasons, one of the first thoughts and considerations you have is the winner. Yeah. And so I really wanted, after my chances were cut, I'm like, I want people to look at our winner and be like, no, they were great. They played in a game that is worth telling the story of. And so I was never wavering at all. I recognized her as one of the best players, like week two and a half. Initially, Cam was the person who I felt was playing great. And then I knew Brooklyn was playing great. But the more I was around Chelsea, I was just like, this girl rocks. And it really sucks that I'm selling out the Pentagon because she's so dangerous. And like, it wasn't the fact that I was like snitching on the Pentagon. It was that she's a part of this and she's so dangerous. And working with Brooklyn, oh my God, I'm in so much danger. She's so well-spoken. Her nomination speech, everyone left it week two where they're like, man, Chelsea rocks. Like, can we talk about how good her speech was? No one took it personally. Angela didn't flip out being put on the block. That's how good Chelsea is. And so voting for her felt like, I feel like I was born and I was traveling through life. And it's just like this grand scheme of destiny. And as my path is crossing with hers, my duty being a part of Big Brother 26 was to vote for her to win. That's really what it felt like. Like, she's just once in a lifetime player, incredible talent, and represents our season super well.
Totally agree. I think it wrapped up the season perfectly. If it ended any other way, I don't know. It just wouldn't have been like, I just felt like she sort of the whole time was sort of, not, you know, running things. Was always had our finger on the pulse of what was going on. Absolutely. Was there anything that either Mackenzie could have said or even Cam, if he had got there, to change your mind? Or were you basically, like I said, there was nothing that could have been said in the finale?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
I just don't think, especially after Mackenzie sending Leah home, that was the greatest display of control from Chelsea, like, ever. Like, that was phenomenal. Also, witnessing, we got to see the nomination that led to Rubina joining us on the round table stage. And when I saw that she put up Mackenzie and Cam, that to me solidified that she was the smartest person in the building at all times. And so I do agree, there's not a lot anyone could have said to beat her. I know that I was the biggest Cam appreciator, but I still think I would have voted for Mackenzie, just because while messy and while at the behest of others, she still won the competitions. That was a more direct translation of the role that she played in people's evictions versus Cam trying to go up to bat and explain the role he played in those decisions. Like, it's just easier to feel that. And Cam is a really good speaker. One of his speeches, I want to mention this because he deserves props. One of his speeches to, like, for the veto to be used on him is he asked to be removed from the shackles of the block. That's some of the greatest imagery I've ever heard in my life. And it's for Big Brother. And so I think he could have gone up there and cooked a bit, but it would have been an uphill battle for sure. I think Chelsea wins no matter what, to answer your direct question. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I think that's totally fair. I was curious. Yeah. If you had changed your mind at all, I'd assume no, but yeah, that Leah vote, and also Chelsea sort of convincing her that it was her idea and then her using it as ammo, which was a bad idea in the finale. And
I was like, which is crazy. Which she answered my question. Yes. I was like, don't do that. No. She probably should have claimed, like, my eviction probably. Like, yep. That would have been, in my head, I'm like, okay, that's kind of sick to, like, stick my face in it and be like, actually sending you home, dork. That would have been hilarious. But instead she talked about sending home Leah. That's a little weird. But
Okay, so now you're home. Who are you hanging out with? Have you met any cool alums that you like? I'm sure people are coming up to you all the time or DMing you. Anyone cool that you've hung out with?
I've gotten to hang out with Jag. Jag is so cool, and so is his brother. His brother actually followed me on Twitter before I got on the show. Just because, like, Twitter spaces, I went up and spoke about Jag in a Twitter space, and I came off knowledgeable enough about the show that Jas followed me on Twitter, where he was like, oh, this guy's really smart. And so I got to hang out with them. They are so unbelievably sweet. We went out and hit the town closer to Halloween, so people are dressed up. I didn't even, like, drink, but they were so insistent that I, like, spent the night at their place. So I got to cuddle up with Jag. Super lucky me. I got to have dinner with Taylor and brunch. I got to have brunch and dinner with Taylor. She is so nice and cool. I got to meet Corey's brother in person, Zach Wurtenberger, who is really sweet to me. Hanging out with Corey is great. Like, Derek and Claire, I got to speak to them for such a short period of time during the wrap party, but there are too many fans. So, and I didn't want to not take pictures with people, but in the, like, short conversations I had with them, iconic. I got to meet Mimi. Like, everyone that I met, Hannah Chada, like everyone that I got to meet, I was just obsessed. I really wanted to meet Paul and I didn't get the chance. There were just too many people in front of me. And I was like, oh, as they're leaving the bar, it was so sad. I have, this is going to be the reveal. Corey and I are planning a stream together. I've already been on his like Twitch stream before, but we're planning a Twitch stream where every cent raised, it's going to be a fundraiser. We're going to donate it to the Trevor Project. So we're raising money for LGBTQ plus people, trying to offer them resources. So that's really exciting. Like that's something I'm really excited about. The reception has been fantastic. Izzy DM'd me. Turner, I got to do an Instagram live with Turner.
I saw that.
Blushing the whole time. I was like, oh my God, this guy is so cool. It's been awesome. Like everyone is so cool and as nice as I always imagined them being.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the Twitch situation. Yeah. Are you going forward, like going to be doing more Twitch stuff?
Yes. That is something that I want to pursue. I want to try my hand in being an influencer, like sharing stories. Like that's something that I was interested in. And it's been, a month since I've been out of the house and I haven't posted a lot of content. And honestly, it's been very paralyzing where now all of a sudden I have an audience a curated audience who is seeking me out. And now all of a sudden I have nothing to say and I feel very, very insecure, even though I was just on Big Brother where I'm in the DR speaking with confidence. I have like the fourth most like DRs across the season, more than two of the final five combined. And so it's so funny that I'm sitting there like, I don't know what to say. And it's like, dude, just talk, like quit feeling bad for yourself. So I'm going to start pursuing that. I want to be a Twitch streamer. I want to uplift the community. I want to do what you do. I want to interview people and give them a space to feel comfortable and highlight the intricacies of their game while showing off their personality. Like there are so many things that I want to do and it's just about putting my foot on the gas.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, it's weird because you get out and you want to sort of digest everything before you just go on social media. I mean, I would definitely recommend that. But yeah, now that you sort of have digested, obviously it's only been a month. Yeah, getting back into that, that's cool. You should totally do that. Very excited. And where can people, you and Corey are going to do a Twitch stream together?
Yes, that'll be on Twitch. My Twitch is Where Have You Quinn? And then I think Corey's is just like Corey Wurtenberger. Yeah. It's spelled in the worst way imaginable. I got called out for misspelling his name on the flyer that I made.
I don't think I would spell his name right either, to be honest with you.
It's hard. Okay. Yeah. And then it's like Instagram. I believe that we will Quinn. I did a podcast with a Quinion that I'm really excited. That's going to come out tomorrow. She straight up told me that her two listeners are her sister and her mom. And so I'm really excited to uplift her. And she talks about all things TV. And I just thought like, if you have a platform, you should uplift the community. And so that's one thing that I'm doing. So I'm excited for that to get released tomorrow. Like, it's going to be great. I'm super excited.
Oh my God. Okay. Awesome. All right. So you are in there for 59 days, Quinn. Are you interested in ever doing this again? Or are you like, I'm good?
Yes. If on finale night, if they had walked up to me and said, hey, you have to sign this contract, you're going to get paid half as much as you got paid before, and it's another 90-day season, I would have done it in a heartbeat. They don't have to pay me. I'll do it for free. I loved the game. I have every reason to not love it. You know, my game got exposed very early on. It felt like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands to re-stabilize myself. And despite all of that, I was having so much fun. Being called a weasel is iconic. Like everything, every element of it was so exciting. And so I would play again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I feel like you did get the full Big Brother experience, especially you, because you've been through sort of the ups and downs of the whole season. And I'm curious, like, what do you attribute to just being like taking this so well? Cause I talk to a lot of players and it takes a while for people to digest. Sometimes people don't want to watch the show anymore. Sometimes people need a break. You just seem super well adjusted. And I'm curious, like, why? Like, what do you attribute to that?
I think that it's a lot of my experience with athletics. I've lost more soccer games in my life than I have won. And I say that as like, I would consider myself a successful athlete. But despite that, like, I take losing very well. I'm someone who, I know that I come off as very sweet and everything like that, but in sports, I talk a lot of trash, like an unreal amount of trash. Where, like, in my indoor adult league before I got on the show, afterwards, I'm like giving people my address and I'm like, pull up. I'm like, go ahead. As I'm driving home, I'm like, I hope they don't follow me home. This is scary. Like, I'm a big trash talker. And in my head, it's just like, I'm able to compartmentalize a lot of the experience. And so, you know, Tucker and I, we were doing this WWE thing where we're doing mental health checkups on each other after yelling at one another. Like, and so I think for me, the reason why I'm able to take it so well is I did have that experience with sports where I was a lot of, in athletics, the perpetrator of pain and stuff like that. And so it's like, if I can dish it out and then not be able to take it when I'm on reality TV, then that speaks to like a lapse in my character. So I was very intentional of like taking it with a smile, because where else are you going to get called out in such a funny, formal way? And so I was just thankful for the opportunities. And I think that that's where a lot of it comes from.
I mean, I think you could do a lot of good by talking about this, because I do think a lot of people struggle. I know I would. I say this all the time, but I definitely think, yeah, you're handling it super well. And so I think you can help a lot of people going forward. So I love to hear that. Well, I know we have to wrap up, Quinn, but now that you've sort of played the game, how is your relationship, do you think, with Big Brother going to change? Are you still like a super fan? Are you going to watch every season, or are you? I'm assuming I know the answer, but
I am going to, it's all it's done is like poured a lighter fluid on my burning passion for the show. I mean it when I say, like, I respect production so much. A lot of the people that are villainized and, you know, all this stuff, I met them and they're nice. Like, and I know that like decisions are made that people don't agree with, and it's like hard sometimes as a fan. But at the end of the day, these people are very kind. I'm like best friends in my head, at least, with everyone that I interacted with during the show. And so from that side of things, I'm still excited about the show. And then watching moving forward, the lens is going to be, these are like my future friends someday. And so to me, I'm just going to celebrate their participation on the show. I know that, like, I won't speak on it too much, but I know that at one point I was not well received. And some people capitalized on the like rain on Quinn's parade thing for clicks and engagement. And that's awesome because they're celebrating me now. And so after going through that experience, I'm going to be very intentional as an alumni to only celebrate the good things. I'll call people out if they're problematic, of course. But if someone's a little messy, I'm going to give them grace, because you know what? Who plays a perfect game? You know, like, it's kind of hard to be Chelsea. So anyone else could be a Quinn just by natural happenstance. So I'm going to be so intentional about approaching future players with love and support. And that's my goal. I'm just so excited for Big Brother 27. It's going to be a great one.
Oh my God, I love it. And Quinn, are you, would you do any other shows? Survivor, like Traitors, Big Brother?
I would totally do Survivor. I think that like my survival skills aren't the greatest, but I can certainly starve. That's not a huge issue. I can sleep on the ground. Not a problem. I will take any invitation very seriously and make sure that I'm studied up on that. That is something that I want to do. I talked to some people who were on the challenge and they were like, you should totally do it. I'm 5'6". That feels like attempted murder. They're like, yeah, put yourself on the line. Good luck. And my response was, I would have to watch the show. And they're like, you Big Brother players are so annoying. Like, why do you have to study? And so whatever show I'm going to be a part of, I'm going to be well studied so I can honor the fan base. That being said, Summit season 2 hit my line, but only if Matt Hardiman gets to join me.
Wait, why?
That's hilarious.
It's so random.
Matt's my boy, okay? And I don't want to put Joseph in danger. I don't want Leah to get cold. And so I'm comfortable with Matt suffering with me on the mountain. I think that this doesn't show on the show at all, especially like because I had a final 2 with Angela. I loved Matt so much.
He's a nice guy.
He and I's sense of humor, like he laughs at everything I say and I laugh at everything he says. Like, we wouldn't get anything done on that mountain. And, you know, he lives in Atlanta. I'm not going to get to hang out with him as often. So I'd love for him to be trapped on a mountain with me just so we can kick it.
Oh, my God. Make it happen. CBS, let's go.
I think that just is the funniest person also. First boot with the first juror. Get us on TV. We got this.
God. Okay, if not Amazing Race, maybe.
With yeah, I can try Stick Shift. I got it.
Okay. Well, Quinn, thank you so much for taking the time, taking more time than I thought you were going to. So I appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, but I'm really excited to see what you do. And it was great watching you. You're such like a good sport. And those are the people I like to root for. So I appreciate that.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for all your contributions. Here's my outfit, by the way. I didn't get to show up. This is called a pussy bow. These are my maroon pants.
Love it.
These are my shoes.
You do have good style. Did you bring like all your clothes in the Big Brother house, or they took some away, or what?
It was the most difficult thing packing.
Yeah.
For that show. And you know, it was difficult to say the least, but that is actually how I dress. I love fun pants. I put that stuff on for real. Call me Ranch the way that I'm dressing, you know?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.